So the before you listen to the sermon, read Daniel chapter 9.
Daniel fasl 9 رو بخونید.
And today is basically in preparation for next week's sermon.
این هفته در حقیقت یه مقدمه است برای هفته آینده.
And the next sermons to come actually.
نه تنها هفته آینده بلکه
The title of my sermon today is The Dual Fulfillment of Prophecy.
موضوع موعظه من تکمیل شدن پیشگویی های که شده و دو طرف است دو شاخه است دو طرف
on almost a daily basis now
تو کل هر روزه
I come over people that are talking about end time prophecy
که در مورد پیشگویی هایی که در مورد زمان آخر ایام آخر صحبت
and I get it that has to do with the times we're living in
میدونم که در تاریخی داریم زندگی میکنیم که خیلی داریم بهش نزدیک میشیم برای همین
هم even this week somebody sent me an email
این هفته یه نفر برای من ایمیل فرستاد
that was addressed to the general address of my company in Holland
و در حقیقت فرستاده شده بود برای کلیسای برای شرکتم در حقیقت شرکتم
within 15 chapter Bible study on the end times, just out of the blue.
فقط فرستادن تو شرکت ما 15 تا فصل کتاب مقدس کتاب مقدس تو شرکت کامپیوتری.
Just looking at the first sentences in the email already made clear to me.
دوست جمله اولی که تو ایمیل به دستم رسیده بود برام جالب بود.
This was from a false teacher.
فهمیدم که معلم دروغی بود که دستش به ایمیل ما رسیده.
But a really wonky view on the end times.
و خیلی اعتقاد عجیب و غریبی داشته در مورد ایام آخر کتاب مقدس.
I'll give you a little bit of it.
یه خلاصه‌شو بهت میگم چی نوشته.
Yeah, this is actually the first sentence that was in the
email. که تو ایمیل برامون نوشته بود برای شرکت ما این بود.
Yeah. After 2 days he will revive us.
دو بعد از 2 روز ما رو زنده خواهد
کرد. On the third day he will raise us up.
و در روز سوم ما رو زنده خواهد کرد.
That we may live in his sight.
که بتونیم در حضور او زنده بمانیم.
That's a quote from Hosea.
که آیه‌اش هست از هوشع.
Well, let me give you the interpretation.
اما بذارین
that he has with it. Yeah.
چه معنی چه بحثی از این آیه کرده.
These 2 days
این دو روز
these are 2000 years
2000 سال
so he concludes that 2000 years
که به این نتیجه میرسیم که 2000 سال
after the destruction of a temple in 70 AD
در سال نابودی معبد مقدس then 70 سال بعد از تولد 70 سال قبل از تولد
yeah then
70 سال بعد از تولد مسیح
then the physical nation yeah the original Jews they will be restored again
که مسیحی یهودی ها دوباره بازسازی خواهند شد
yeah so in 2070
در سال 2070
after being replaced for 2000 years by the Gentiles.
و 2000 سال غیر یهودیا اون رو میگیرن در حقیقت دستشون.
And this is nonsense. This is no biblical support for that.
Yeah, but this is just
one example.
یکی از نمونه هاست که از آیه استفاده کرده.
It seemed that every day somebody is just spitting something out.
به نظر میاد هر روزه هر کسی یه چیزی میگه در مورد
this is going to happen.
این اتفاق میفته. فردا قرار این اتفاق بیفته.
And almost none of it is biblical.
هیچ کدومش هم کتاب مقدسی نیست و هیچ کدومش هم اتفاق نمیفته.
Even somebody last week, one of you, came to me and said, hey, we have this teacher here.
یه معلمی رو.
And that goes around among Iranians.
یه معلمی هست که
this guy is talking about end time prophecies.
ایرانی‌ها و ایرانی‌ها درس میده.
But he's a false teacher.
نبوت ایام آخر صحبت میکنه و اون معلم دروغیه.
And that's happening all the time.
همیشه اتفاق میفته.
The problem is that many people just blindly follow after these people.
و حرفایی که میشنوه رو قبول میکنه و همون جوری اعتقادش رو پیش
میبره. Because it's a fun topic. It's an interesting topic.
موضوع جالبیه. خیلی
people are curious about it. Oh, what's going to happen?
در موردش در ایام آخر چه
اتفاقی میفته؟ Oh, he says this.
اینو گفت پس
this person says that.
اینو گفت پس انجام میشه.
Yeah, but because they don't know a lot of the Bible.
اما چون کلی کتاب مقدس بلد نیستیم.
They're easily deceived.
خیلی راحت.
Going after all kinds of weird end time
views. اعتقادات عجیب و غریبی در ایام آخر خواهیم داشت.
And the Bible says that we need to mature, that we need to grow up.
میگه باید رشد کنیم و بزرگ بشیم.
That we should not be as children.
که دیگه فرزند بچه نباشیم.
Ephesians 4:14.
افسوسیان 4 14.
Yeah, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive.
تا دیگر کودکان نباشیم، پرتاب و رانده شده از باد هر تعلیم، از دعابازی دغلبازی مردمان در حیله‌گری برای گمراهی، بلکه در محبت گویا راستی بوده، در هر چیز رشد نماییم، در او که سر است، یعنی عیسی مسیح.
Now, how do we determine doctrine? How do we determine what we believe?
چجوری تشخیص بدیم واقعا به چی اعتقاد داریم؟ علکی نیست.
We go to the Bible.
میریم سراغ کلام.
Yeah, we find clear statements.
کلمه‌های روشن رو پیدا خواهیم کرد.
And then we base a doctrine on that.
و اعتقادمون رو روی اون بنا خواهیم کرد.
Yeah, so what we believe.
اعتقادی که داریم.
Yeah, has biblical support.
سپورت کتاب مقدس.
Not some obscure scripture that.
نه یه آیه‌ای که کاملا روشن نیست و چی درکش نمی‌کنه رو بکنیم اصل اعتقاد.
Clear verses.
آیه‌هایی که کاملا با زبان عمومی ما رو سپورت می‌کنه و واقعاً اعتقادمون رو برمی‌داره.
Yeah, clear verses that are in context.
آیه‌هایی که خیلی روشن در موردش.
Yeah, that are teaching something on that topic.
هیچ شکی در موردش نیست. اونهاست که واقعاً بهش اعتقاد داریم، نه اونی که.
And it holds in general, of course.
کلاً تو همه موضوعات واقعیت.
That holds also for what we believe in regards to the end times.
حتی اعتقاداتمون در مورد ایام آخر دنیا هم همینطوره.
If you have another view of the end times, or somebody has a different view of the end times,
yeah,
it doesn't make you a bad person.
آدم بدی نمی‌کنتت.
But you need to question: is what I believe actually based on what the Bible teaches?
اما باید سوال ببریم که آیا اعتقادمون طبق کلامه یا چون شنیدیم به این اعتقاد آوردیم.
Yeah. Now it's about 1.5 years ago that I preached the book of Revelation.
که کتاب مکاشفه رو آیه به آیه با هم دیگه خوندیم.
So I think it's good to spend some time again talking about the end times.
وقتمون رو بذاریم برای مکاشفه
در ایام
آخر
and also look on why we believe certain things.
ببینیم نگاه کنیم و برگردیم ببینیم چرا به چه چیزهایی اعتقاد داریم و چرا اعتقادمون برونه.
Yeah, so for the next weeks I'm planning to just take separate elements from the end times and just talk about these things.
یک سری قسمت‌های مختلف رو نگاه می‌کنیم و در مورد اون اعتقاد صحبت خواهیم کرد.
Now, I first want to give you what we believe, an overview,
and then
in the coming weeks we'll go into that, and I will show you why we believe this is the case. Now we're going to look at the scriptures that support these statements. Now, we believe at a 7-year period at the end, which is basically the end in the sense of the world as we know it now, yeah, because there's some other things happening afterwards.
Not the end of everything.
Now, how does the 7-year period look like? It starts from a period of 3.5 years of tribulation, trouble, yeah, where Satan and his minions bring destruction and death to this world. This period will end with the Antichrist coming. Coming into power. And that goes over in a short period where the Antichrist will persecute Christians.
اون ضد مسیح مسیحی ها رو شکنجه
میده. Which we call the Great Tribulation.
که میگیم مصیبت عظیم برای کلیسا.
This short period.
و این زمان کوتاه.
Yeah, will end with the second coming of Jesus Christ.
و اومدن دوباره عیسی مسیح تموم میشه.
Yeah, which is the same event as the rapture, as Christians being taken out of this world.
و اون لحظه است که ایمانداران همه روی ابرها برده خواهند شد. Yeah. از دوی دنیا برده.
It is also the same day.
و همون روز هست که
after we are taken out of here, that God will start pouring out his wrath on this earth. And that will go on for the remainder part of that 7-year period of time. At the very end of that, Jesus will come back again with the saints, with us,
مقدسین با ما
to deal finally with that kingdom of the Antichrist.
و بتونیم اون پادشاه ضد مسیح رو از زمین برش
داریم. Yeah, there'll be final battle that is often called the Battle of Armageddon.
و آخرین جنگ آرمگدون.
Yeah, which is not a biblical term. A better term would be the battle of the great day of God Almighty, because that's what's actually in the Bible given as a name. Then Jesus will set up his kingdom. He will rule this earth for 1,000 years.
و هزار سال سلطنت خواهد کرد روی زمین.
Yeah, we'll be part of that rule.
و جزء اون سلطنت ما هم در کنار سلطنت خواهیم بود.
That is referred to as the millennium reign of Christ.
و به اون گفته میشه که سلطنت هزاره عیسی مسیح.
After the millennium reign of Christ.
بعد از هزار سال سلطنت عیسی مسیح.
Very far in the future now.
حالا آخر اون رسالت.
There will be another rebellion led by Satan again.
دوباره شیطان یک شورشی رو راه میندازه به مردم دنیا.
Now was loosed for a specific purpose.
برای این هدف
He will be deceiving many, and it will be a last battle called the Battle of Gog and Magog. And after that, we have the White Throne Judgment, and the New Earth slash Eternity.
Yeah. Now,
the further we get out in future, the less details the Bible gives us.
Yet,
all what I just have said is backed up with scripture.
Now,
I had plans to start talking about the 7-year period of time,
but
I realized that before I can do that, it would be good to teach some things in regards to prophecies in the Bible. So that's what I want to do today. And I can brush over it, but I think it's good for you to actually see what I'm talking about. So what I want to talk about is the dual fulfillment of prophecies in the Bible. This means that there are often more layers to a prophecy that is given. That there is more fulfillment to the same prophecy.
Now,
if you've read to the Bible, you might already have noticed this.
شاید توجه کرده باشی و دقت کرده باشی.
And if not, you will immediately notice it when I give you examples of this.
اما وقتی نمونهشو بهتون بدم می‌بینید که یه پیشگویی
دوباره تکرار می‌کنه. Prophecies often have a direct application.
چون پیشگویی همون relevancy یه معنی داشته.
That is immediate.
همون موقع یه معنی برای اون مردم داشته.
For that specific generation.
برای اون نسل، برای اون قوم معنی مخصوصی داشته.
Or for the very next generations to come.
یا نسل بعدیش که سریع فهمیدن و دیدن.
Often it is prophecies fulfilled in their lifetime, in their generation.
پیشگویی تو زمان زندگی اونها یه جوری به تکمیل می‌رسه.
But then we also see that there's prophecy fulfilled much the same prophecy fulfilled later on in the future again in a different way. Often a greater way. Where the first fulfillment is like a shadow of the big fulfillment that has to come. Yeah, and we'll look at examples of this. And what you will see is that the prophecies that are given that have this immediate fulfillment, they're kind of not missing some things. They're not really fulfilled if you look at the prophecy. And what is this? This is indicating to already a greater fulfillment of the same prophecy in the future. Now, there are people who blatantly don't believe this.
Yeah?
They say, oh, and one prophecy has this one fulfillment, and that's it. But that's not consistent with what we see in the Bible. And it will make interpreting certain passages with prophecy very confusing, and actually
یه طرف بوده که اگه فکر کنیم ترجمه نبوت ها برامون گیج کننده و سخت خواهد
شد. Now, I'll give you a lot of examples now so you can start seeing what I'm talking about.
And
I'm going to starting at the beginning of the Bible and we'll go just through the Old Testament.
از آغاز کتاب مقدس شروع می‌کنیم.
Let's start with Genesis chapter 2.
پیدایش فصل 2.
Verse 17.
آیه 17 رو بخونیم.
And this is a story about Adam.
And Eve, of course, Adam and Hawa,
yeah. And that they sinned, yeah.
که گناه کردند.
But so God told them, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
اما از درخت شناخت نیک و بد زنهار نخوری.
Yeah, so God had foretold, God had prophesied,
God
said, hey, if you do this, this is going to happen. Yeah, you will surely die. And it says, you will surely die that same day. Now, we know they sinned, Adam and Eve. But did they die at that point in time? Did they just collapse? No, they didn't. Adam lived, I believe, for 930 years after, after the total 930 years. So, was it not true what God had said there? Oh, yes, it was definitely true. The truth is that this was fulfilled in two ways. First of all, on that day, they spiritually died. Yeah, Ephesians 2:5 talks about, even we were dead in sins, that had quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. Yeah, we were dead in our sins. We died we die spiritually when we sin. Yeah. Yeah, when we get saved, we are spiritually made alive. Yeah, because we were spiritual dead. Yeah. But then, the second part was fulfilled, that Adam eventually did physically die. Yeah, it took a while. But eventually died. Now, would he have died if he would not have eaten from that fruit? If he would not have sinned? No, he would be living in the garden. He would be eating from the tree of life. He would have been fine.
Yeah.
So, you see, one thing that God has pronounced is fulfilled in two ways. First, a spiritual death, immediately. But that's not exactly the fulfillment. Complete fulfillment. That, and then later on, we see a literal fulfillment in that they physically died. Go to Genesis 6:3. And there are literally probably close to 100 of those. Yeah, and I'm going to give you less than 10 today, but Genesis 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive at man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, what will be a first fulfillment of this this pronouncement? Now, God is giving them 120 years till the flood, till he will destroy the earth. Yeah, Noah has to build the ark in that period of time. Yeah, this is the time he has to do that. But there's also a second fulfillment of that, which was not immediate, which came about slowly after the period of time, and that is that the human lifespan was limited to 120 years.
You can
eat healthy as much as you want.
Do
everything right. Yet we don't see people anymore living up to 900 plus years. Yeah, because that's what we repeatedly see before the flood. And I know people say, oh, it's because after the flood, the environment changed. Yeah, because of the radiation now, and all kinds of things. The ultra-V, and that's why. If that would be true, all the computer programmers would live to almost 1,000, because they don't see the sun.
به خاطر اینکه اگر قرار باشه با آفتاب اینجوری بشه تمام برنامه‌نویس‌های کامپیوترها 1000 سال زندگی می‌کردن چون هیچ کمیشون نور نمی‌بینن.
Yeah, of course.
That's
not true. And even Noah, lived to 950 years. He lived a long time after the flood.
Yeah,
not affected by this pronouncement yet. Yeah, and of course, this has to do with our genetics. God has something in our genetics.
And
as slowly, we'll see the max lifespan going down.
Yeah.
How old was Abraham? It was like 179 or something. I don't know.
180.
Yeah, something like that. So you already see there in the hundreds. Jacob,
130s,
139, something like that. Somewhere in that neighborhood. So it goes goes down.
Now,
I looked up the list of all those people that are registered at the moment, and things we can actually check. Because there are claims of people, oh, this person is so old, but it's impossible to, because there's no records of it, they can say whatever. So I looked at the top 100 list of oldest women.
Yeah.
99 of them were between 111 years old and 119 years old when they died. And there was one person recorded, yeah, that was born in 1875, that they say made it up to 122. Yeah. Now, I personally believe that was just because of administrative error or some swap up or something like that.
Yeah,
we're talking about
1875.
But even if not, yeah, it's like the exception that proves the rule. But it's very clear that we're hitting up against a limit of 120. Yeah, and our average age is like between 70 and 80 or something. Yeah, David is called old when he's 70. I looked at the top 100 men. Men do not get as old as women.
Yeah.
The whole list of 100 was between 111 and 116. So women are stronger apparently. Yeah. And currently the oldest woman is 118 years old. And oldest women are 13. And this happens slowly over time. Now what's the point that I'm making? Yeah, there were two fulfillments to that prophecy.
Yeah,
one of them was the period of time till the destruction of everything and the flood. But then also God shortened the lifespan of human beings, 120 years old. Go to Genesis 13. Genesis 13, I read verses 14 till 16. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered.
پس از آن که لوط از آبرام جدا شد، خداوند به آبرام گفت: اکنون تو چشمان خویش را بر فراز و از جایی که هستی به سوی شمال و جنوب و شرق و غرب بنگر، زیرا سراسر این سرزمین را که می‌بینی، تا ابد به تو و نسل تو خواهم بخشید. نسل تو را همچون غبار زمین می‌گردانم، چنان که اگر کسی بتواند غبار زمین را بشمارد، نسل تو را نیز می‌تواند شمرد.
Of course, we know that Abraham and Sarah couldn't have children. Yeah, but the promise from God is, hey, your seed will be as the dust of the earth. Yeah, no one can number that. Yeah, skip a little further to Genesis 15. Yeah, Genesis 15, 5 and 6. It's about the same thing. Genesis 15, 5 and 6. Yeah, it's the same thing. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, what was the immediate fulfillment of this? Of course, Isaac was born.
اسحاق به دنیا آمد.
Yeah, Jacob was born.
یعقوب به دنیا آمد.
12 sons.
12 تا پسرش به دنیا آمد.
It will grow into a nation slowly.
و یواش یواش شدن یک قوم در مصر.
And eventually this nation goes to the promised land.
میره به سرزمین موعود.
And their number was, became greater and greater. But you could still number the number of people in Israel. Yeah, there's not a fulfillment. And that is true, Jesus Christ, who is the seed of Abraham. Go to Galatians
3:29.
Galatians 3:29. And if ye be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians
3:29.
Yeah, so those who are in Christ, those who believe, are counted as Abraham's seeds.
Yeah?
And that is truly a number that is innumerable. Go to Revelation 7. Verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Yeah, we're going to look at this later on in next week's. But this is a description of the rapture, where everybody is now in front of the throne. In the resurrection,
a
number that man could not count. Yeah, so we see two fulfillments. Immediately in the physical nation of Israel, but then also a spiritual fulfillment in all believers. Go to Genesis 22. This is a famous story. Everybody knows the story.
Yeah,
that's when God asked Abraham, you need to sacrifice your son. Genesis 22, verse 7. Yeah, so they're on their way, yeah, because Abraham believed God. He trusted, and the Bible says he trusted that, if I have to kill him, God will raise him up again.
Yeah,
he trusted God. So he goes out to do it. And here's what his son asked him on the way. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, son, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Yeah, so they're climbing up the mountain, we're close to a place where the sacrifice has to be made. Yeah, they have everything they need except for the lamb. Now, listen to the answer, the prophetic answer that Abraham gives here. And Abraham said in verse 8, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering.
So when خداوند برای ما قربانی سوختنی آماده کرد.
So they went both of them together.
هر دو تاشون با هم دیگه رفتن بالا.
Now, what was the fulfillment of this?
چجوری تکمیل شد در اون لحظه؟
Now, of course, God stopped Abraham from killing his son.
پسرش رو نکشه.
And then they found a ram stuck at the side that he actually used eventually to make that sacrifice.
گیر کرده بوده اونجا که ازش استفاده میکنن و اونو قربانی سوختنی میکنن.
Now, notice that this is not an exact fulfillment.
تکمیل این پیشگویی اون روز در کنار
It says it's a ram, not a lamb.
But
you could clearly see, hey, this is an answer.
Yeah? We don't have anything to offer.
Isaac, if Abraham, stop, don't sacrifice your son. Directly there's a ram.
Now,
what is the dual fulfillment of this? Obviously, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Yeah, that he died for our sins. Yeah, so there's an immediate fulfillment and there's a future fulfillment.
اما یه تکمیل کاملش و کاملترش در آینده اتفاق میفته.
Go to Hosea.
هوشع.
Chapter 11, verse 1.
فصل 11 آیه 1. هوشع 11.
And this is also one of those pronouncements that you all recognize.
یکی از نبوت هاست که همتون میشناسیم و باهاش آشنا.
When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt.
هوشع.
هنگامی که اسرائیل طفل بود، او را دوست داشتم و پسر خود را از مصر فرا خواندم.
Now, this is talking about the nation of Israel, if you read the context. Yeah, and of course, we know what this is alluding to. Yeah, because Israel, as a nation, was called out of Egypt. Yeah, at the very beginning of their being as a nation. Yeah, when Israel was a child, it says, pointing to that fact. Yeah, so there's no doubt about that this is what it is talking about. But is there another fulfillment of this? Is this a shadow of something that would happen later? Go to Matthew 2, and read verse 15. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son.
و تا وفات هیرودیس در آنجا بماند تا کلامی که خداوند به زبان نبی گفته بود تمام گردد که از مصر پسر خود را خواند.
Who was this talking about?
این در مورد کی صحبت میکنه؟
Jesus Christ. Yeah, he had to flee to Egypt because Herod was about to kill all the babies.
هیرودیس قرار بود همه نوزادها رو بکشه.
Now, would it be wrong to apply the description to the nation of Israel, pointing to the fact that, hey, this is fulfilled because they were called out of Egypt. No, that's correct. That's correct. That's what it talks about.
But then,
would it be wrong to talk about the scripture saying, hey, this is also fulfilled in Jesus Christ? Actually, that is the ultimate fulfillment of this.
Of course,
that is okay, because the Bible actually tells us here.
Yeah?
When Hosea wrote this down,
yeah,
this is where it was applying to. Yeah, but so you see two fulfillments of the same prophecy. The shadow being a nation taken out of Egypt.
But
then another fulfillment in that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, being called out of Egypt. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Rowan, you have to be quiet. So Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, everybody knows this verse. Yeah, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, this is quoted in the New Testament.
Yeah,
everybody says, oh, this is about Jesus.
And
yes, it is about Jesus. This is the ultimate fulfillment of that verse. But we often forget this is actually, there's a dual fulfillment to this scripture. Yeah, and it's not that there's another version that was conceived from the Holy Ghost. No, that's not what it's saying. But don't forget, this is Isaiah talking to real people with real problems and a real situation, and he's speaking things that are relevant to their time immediately.
So
what is the immediate fulfillment of this prophecy?
Now,
read the next two verses and you will see that this verse is given in a context. Butter and honey, that's verse 15, yeah? Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings.
اما پیش از آنکه پسر دوری جستن از بدی و اختیار کردن خوبی را بداند، سرزمینی که شما از دو پادشاه آن
Yeah, so this is talking about some political situation with some kings.
Yeah,
so what's the fulfillment? What's the immediate fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14? Now that's before a woman who is now a virgin, who shall then know a man and bear a son before that time frame. Yeah. You didn't translate that.
No, I know. Say it again.
Yeah, so before there was a woman who was a virgin. Yeah, we will know a man and bear a son in a natural way. And we'll give that child a name, which is Emmanuel. Yeah, which a lot of people call Emmanuel. Also today. Yeah, before that happens, before the time frame, yeah, this political thing that's going on.
Yeah, these
kings that this land that you abhor, yeah, that you don't like, that you hate. Yeah, this child will eat honey and butter. Things will go well. Yeah, so this is just a prophecy with an immediate fulfillment of a political situation, something going on that will encourage the people. Hey, this will happen in a short amount of time. Yeah, and of course, it is absolutely a great prophecy about Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate fulfillment.
Yeah,
I hope you start to see that there are actually dual fulfillments to prophecies. Often first a limited one, a shadow, and later a bigger fulfillment of that. Yeah, starting with Adam, a spiritual death, but then also later, physically he dies.
Yeah?
He doesn't walk this earth anymore. Immediately fulfillment in a 20-year period till the flood. But then there's another fulfillment that the lifespan of human beings are shortened. So yeah, a mean fulfillment that, hey, your children shall be as the stars of heaven in the nation of Israel. But then a dual fulfillment that those who are in Christ are of Abraham's seed. And at the resurrection, there's a number that cannot be counted.
Immediate
fulfillment, hey, this ram.
That
is what God provides to do the sacrifice. But then much later on, we have the lamb that died for our sins, the sins of the world. The sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ. I called Israel out of Egypt. Later on fulfillment, I called my son, God in the flesh, out of Egypt. Yeah, some political thing with a king. But then the birth announcement of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yeah, a shadow fulfillment, and then a greater fulfillment much later on.
But